everyone, and welcome back to Onigiri & Co. podcast. Today we have a really special guest for you. So welcome everyone, and we're having a full squad today from three time zones.
Yes, three time zones.
So Mako, would you like to introduce yourself and tell us how to actually spell it?
Sure. Thank you first so much for having me. When I first started flying, you two ladies were the two that, you know, I looked up to, of course. You were like one of the only female pilots out there at the time.
Special. So
I'm really excited to be here to do that. And you say it with Mako Reactra.
Mako Reactra. Okay, I read it like more
nice
Japanese
job.
Way.
Yes.
I read it Mako.
Where is
yes,
it? What is it
I
from?
I didn't realize. Yeah. Well, it's from before I started flying FPV, I was into gaming and I grew up gaming and I was into RPGs. So Final Fantasy VII is where the name came from.
That's
in the first...
where I know it.
I was also like, I get it from somewhere.
Yes.
And when I played it, you know, there was no audio. Like they didn't read you the dialogue. So I thought it was pronounced Mako, but yeah, it's actually Mako, but I'm like, I'm keeping Mako.
Yeah, it makes sense. So little story time, my roomie in high school, well, I was in a boarding school, and she would always play Final Fantasy, and she would show me heaps of things because YouTube was starting at the time, and she would show me stuff on YouTube. And you know, it's a memory that was buried like deep in my brain. And when I saw your handle, I was like, I know that. And I was like, is it from Top Gun? Is it from... I couldn't figure out. It makes sense. Final Fantasy.
Yeah, it's really fun when people recognize it. And I've had a few people message me and say, you know, they used to work on the game. So kind of cool.
Yes, that's really cool.
Cool.
Well, welcome on the podcast.
Thank you.
We're really happy to have you. We tried to make this happen before. So it's good that, you know, we finally found time for you to join.
Yes.
And especially after the busy week you girls just had at the CES, is that what it's called?
Yes, Consumer Electronics Show.
Okay, well, may as well talk about it. Like you can start if you want, or Lexi can start, whatever you prefer.
It's basically the biggest tech show in the world, and all the latest gadgets, cars, autonomous robots, Meta stuff, all the latest tech is being introduced there. So you kind of get to see it first. And, you know, they have Samsung, they have Sony, they have John Deere, BMW, you know, everything is there. Even we got to see some flying cars, actually, too.
Oh, yeah, we did. That's true.
Flying cars, like
yeah, like more eVTOLs.
Ah.
Well, just one.
Ah.
Actually, okay. Lillian was there, and I have not seen it. The thing is so big. It's like within a couple of buildings along the whole Las Vegas. And I think Lillian was in the last building to which I never managed to go. But now I saw on LinkedIn that they've been there with their aircraft. And I'm like, how could I miss it? Like, I'm so mad. Like, when I saw this picture, I was like, are you kidding me?
How big
it was, really was it? Easy to miss things because like it went through the city, you know, you went to the convention center, which that in itself was huge, multiple floors, and then the Venetian, which is a hotel casino. So we walked probably over 30,000 steps in one day. It was worth it. There were the audio visual section was wicked
beautiful.
Cool. You know, the latest TVs.
Yeah.
And there was one where the screen was on the floor, on the walls, and there was a TV at front, and you were like immersed
beautiful.
In the scene. And when you were walking, did you do that one, Lexi?
I did.
You would walk and you would be in like the forest, and then it would change, and then you'd be in like a different location.
I may have spent at least five times in there when it was rolling on the thing with Kyle, because Kyle wanted to make a video there, and we were waiting for the Galaxy five times.
Wow.
Maybe. It's not confirmed.
Yeah. That sounds
did
amazing.
Did you also see Spot, the autonomous dog from Boston Dynamics?
Yes, that was so much fun. I actually saw one of the Boston Dynamics dogs just roaming around one of the halls. Like, I saw the logo on it, and I did not see the logo anywhere near me. So I was like, this should tell you a lot about this expo. They just literally leave the Boston Dynamics dog to roam around and they don't care.
It's a little creepy, I'm not gonna lie.
So were you invited there, both of you, as drone pilot? Well, that's my guess.
We were invited for the Women in Drones event, which was Women in Emerging Technologies, because we both got prizes for Women to Watch in UAS for 2022.
Ooh. Ah, yep. Okay.
Yes. So Mako is a lucky winner of the sports prize.
Oh, yay. Yeah. Congrats.
And Lexi won Trailblazer.
Yeah. Ah, what is that?
Okay, so it's generally what Sharon described to me. It means women that make history of aviation, yeah. But it's too much to put on the trophy, so she used Trailblazer because I'm blazing the trail, so everyone who comes after me will have an easier life, hopefully.
Oh, that's
I'm
great.
I'm literally doing a lot of things so people after me will have it easier, and I really hope it works. Mako.
Someone from Jetson, oh gosh, I feel bad because I can't think of his name. Is it Serge? Does that sound familiar?
Serge? Okay.
Someone from Jetson reached out and congratulated me because, you know, he saw that we were both there. And he's like, maybe one day you'll be our next Jetson pilot. Ooh. I'm like, I don't know.
Why not?
We'll let Lexi be the trailblazer.
Yeah, that's it seems great. Like it's my job. Now I have it on the trophy too, so it's great.
Yeah, that's great. So you both had like an award ceremony, but did you have a specific program? Like, did you have to do some talking there, or were you just mainly as a visitor and then there was an award ceremony?
I had some talking. I had some interviews beforehand. Actually, two. One of them for the documentary and the second one for just general public. So I was answering questions about eVTOLs and flying cars. And of course, everyone's excited about, you know, how to race them. And I know that Jetson doesn't want to be seen as a racing car. But to be perfectly honest, I think... Mr. Ford said that car racing started when the second car has been produced. So yeah. I can assure you, if there's two Jetsons somewhere, people are going to race them. Whether you want it or not, whether you propose your product as a racing product or not, people are going to race them. And if there's two Jetsons during the testing, I'm going to win. Either the person knows we're racing or not, I'm going to win.
Fast and Furious Trailblazer.
Exactly. I'm going to trailblaze this thing.
What about you, Mako?
I didn't have any other... I just got to accept the award. I had it easy. But the Women in Drone documentary committee came to MultiGP IO this past summer, and there they interviewed me about drone racing and got to film it and talk to a bunch of the ladies who fly who were at the event.
Yeah, that's great.
Awesome.
Sharon is doing a great job.
Yeah, she's amazing. She brings us all together.
Yeah, that's great. It sounds like also it wouldn't be easy to to gather everybody, because there's not that many women. There's more and more, but you're like, where do I need to go to find the ones I want to speak to? So do you know when the documentary will be released at all, or not really?
No. There's a few trailers out, but we don't have a date.
Okay. So it's a whole organization, Women in Drones.
Yeah.
I wonder if, is it on Instagram?
Yes.
Because it definitely rings a bell. Okay. Well,
but there were women variety of aviation jobs,
and not only women. Just so we are sure, it's not just women. It's also like they were interviewing guys and stuff. It's fine.
Yeah. Before anybody gets a bit like, oh,
this podcast is always about women. Yeah, it has also men in it. Don't worry about it.
Well, it sounds like it was fun event. Even though I think Lexi had a slight health impairment.
I don't want to talk about it.
I'm dying. That's okay. We don't have to talk about it. Mako, you were fine. You didn't have any issue staying
Not
alive.
Not too bad.
She was with
Just
me, though.
Just the typical issues of Vegas.
She was with me, though, the entire time.
I did. We spent some time in the bathroom.
Yeah, apparently, even if I'm dying, I'm still funny.
I don't doubt that at all.
I've made so many people laugh.
Is there anything else you think needs to be mentioned from that event? Like, you know, did you? What was your favorite thing? And is there anything that you didn't expect to see? Like, I'm actually curious because I didn't go, you know, so I'm asking.
I guess for me, it was just a sensory overload, just the visuals and the audio paired together, even just of Vegas alone. You know, you first get there and you enter a casino and it's just lights and sounds everywhere. And then we went to Fremont Street and there's like a whole video screen above us and there's zip lining. So if you have never been to Vegas, you definitely have to go and experience it at least once. So to be able to be there and then to also see CES, my husband came with me and that was like on his bucket list to do. So I was very glad we were able to do that. But the meta stuff there was pretty cool too. Like I'm not really excited about going into the meta. I want to be in the real world, but to kind of see the different people having those experiences, they had a whole, the guy M. Night Shyamalan, I think is his name is, he did the Sixth Sense movie. He had this whole experience there where you could go into like this cabin with the VR and you were like in one of his movies. So did you do it, Lexi?
I did. It was amazing,
actually. What was that like? Because I didn't get to. I was like, oh.
It was, I didn't see it coming, to be perfectly honest. Like, I actually went there like alone because, yeah, the person that I was there with was not interested. And I was like, I'm going to go there and I don't care. So I did. And it was really immersive because everything was, you were just there and it was really like sensory overload in there. It was everything.
Yeah, you see amazing. People in like chairs with the VR headsets, like on a roller coaster. And then there was a whole group of people sitting in a spot and they all had the VR sets on, all in the meta together. So it was just really interesting to see where the technology is taking us nowadays.
That's true.
You know what would be awesome if we link VR and FPV? Like it means... Yeah. We could fly. Well, it's hard with time zones, but let's say if I don't have an insomnia and I can wake up properly on time and stuff, we could fly the three of us technically the same spot at the same time and like almost be standing next to each other in that fake world.
Actually,
all right, I can get on board with that.
Actually, the simulator here in Jetson is having VR goggles on, and you can literally look outside of the aircraft.
What?
It's so cool. Yeah. So if you were wondering about this job, simulator is nice and moves.
And safe.
It's great. So I actually think, I just want to add that for me, the most important thing was to see so many women that I can look up to. And there were a couple of people that I really was looking up to for a while because I was actually presenting for the Hall of Fame. A person that I was really looking up to, Fiona Lake. So if she's listening, hi, Fiona. So I met her on one of the drone groups and I met her probably 2015. And she was this person that was like, I don't give a damn. If someone throws me out of the biggest drone group, that's fine because they're just sexist, whatever. And she was posting what people were writing to her. And she was really, she taught me how to be this type of a person that's not only talking back, but also being sassy about it. So she was so proud of herself because she told me that she met the guy who banned her from this biggest drone group back in 2016, I think. And she just burned him down. And I was so proud of her. I was like, yes. So there were so many amazing women. Like there was... there was this lady that was having like 50 years of experience. She was the first one in the Air Force to fly a jet fighter as a woman. Miriam. And she's working with FAA and CASA and EASA. So like in all the good places. And she was talking about how we will have to do some training for eVTOL pilots, how we will have to do the laws and everything. So it all makes sense. And I was just listening to her being like, I want to be friends with you so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, the women there were incredible. Pilots, people from NASA, the FAA, people who run their own business. And to hear their stories, like you're saying, Lexi, to hear their stories was just so inspiring because they all encountered kind of what some of us have experienced as a female in FPV. But
it's, I think, for me, it's like, for me, it's like super special because back in school, when I was in school, I was having just one role model about women in science ever, and it was Marie Curie. There was no one else. Yeah. I never learned about anyone else in school. Out of school, I did. But in school, before I left school, I didn't know that there were any women scientists, like ever. And this should give you like some type of a thing in your head, like how is it possible that someone finishes school being 18 years old and knowing about just one female scientist? Like, how am I supposed to go to science if I learned about one? And now that I'm an adult and I found so many places which taught me about a lot of other women that did a lot of amazing things that should be taught in schools, it's just amazing for me. And also just seeing the talking and breathing person that I'm looking up to is amazing, especially if it's a woman, because it's still kind of in me that I was deprived of learning about so many amazing people in my life when I was back in school. So for me, it's like really special. And I know that there may be a lot of you guys who are listening that don't understand, and you're like, what do you mean by that? But it's just about representation. And about the fact, like, can you imagine that you wouldn't think that I can be a driver or race in Formula One or do whatever because there are just girls in there? Like, can you imagine it even? It's just, it blows your mind probably, but this is my reality.
Yeah, there was I've said this to a few people before. I don't know if I ever told you, Lexi, but when DRL first started their live racing before pandemic, you know, they had a really big live race and the stands were full of people. And DRL has all men, male pilots. So after the race was over, I had a father of two daughters. He had brought them to the race. And they were just like, is this only for men? Is this just a men's sport?
Yeah, exactly.
They didn't realize that women do it too. So they like found me on Instagram. They're like, we're so excited that ladies do this too. So kind of like that. And I think girls' brains just sometimes work differently. Like sometimes we need to actually see it to be it.
But it's not only this. It's also about people of color or people who are LGBTQ, you know? Mm-hmm. So if you don't get representation, if you just see, let's say, white cis male and white cis woman everywhere, I mean, it doesn't give you representation. What the mermaid, the Disney mermaid, Little Mermaid thing.
Yeah.
That she's black. And some people lost their dam. And then you saw so many people really being like, oh my God, look, she's like us. And it's like, it broke my heart.
Yeah. Yeah. Representation is very important. And a lot of males don't realize how they grow up. And it's not their fault. Like, I'm not blaming them. It's just the way the world is. They grow up in a world where they don't have to. The codes that are in place pretty much tell them subconsciously that they can be anything, you know.
Yeah.
And for a long time, women were specifically told that they couldn't do it. Like, they couldn't run a marathon because their uterus will fall out, or
stupid.
You know, things like that, or they were just forbidden to do things. Now we are not forbidden, or we are not specifically told. Sometimes we are, but most of the time we're not, like, you cannot do this. But because we have all these years, these centuries to make up for. to make up for us codes, we are slowly getting there, but it's more about subconsciously the message we want to tell everybody. And I've tried to explain that to a dear friend, because he's like, but his argument, and it's fair enough, was that we have all the same possibilities. You know, we can be hired everywhere. We can, like, nothing is preventing girls from doing various things. And it was like, now that you can do it and you still don't, in general, all the girls, doesn't that mean that you're just not interested in it? And that's what I was trying to tell him. This is about exposure. This is about showing and representing women in general. This is not just, it has to come from the mind and the idea of being like, yeah, not even questioning. You know, when I was in primary school, I think I told that in a previous episode, the teachers were addressing the girls and were like, you know, you can be an engineer later, you know, you can be, and as a little girl, I was like, why is he telling us that? You know, why is he just like, yeah, I know, you don't have to tell me. Like, and the fact that he was telling me was showing me, and I found it weird, but it was showing that I was like questioning things already at the time. And I wonder when the change happened. Because, for example, my mom, when I was telling her things like that, she was never, ever questioning things in general. She was never like, yeah.
I think I told I told you that too, but me in school, they told me that I have to make a cake because I'm a girl and I cannot make the...
you didn't tell me that.
...the wooden plane. They literally told me that and I lost my shit. Like, I lost it so hard, they got me to the principal and called my mom. And when they described to her the situation, my mom looked at them and she was like, why can't she make a freaking plane? And they were like, because she's a girl. And my mom was like, so what? I'm a car mechanic. Mm-hmm. What's your point?
Yeah, I think it's getting better. I'm a teacher. You know, when I was a kid, the commercials on TV for toys were dolls. God, yeah. You know, I was always bought dolls and horses and like things to play house with for Christmases and birthdays. And even in high school, I had to take home ec. And I always played sports and I always played with the boys and I always liked video games and like, if you think about the differences, you know, boys, they have, at least before when I was growing up, they had toys that they would build and rebuild and like big transformers. They're taking it apart and putting it together. Mm. You know, the toys that I had, it was all about caring for them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think nowadays it's definitely changed quite a bit. As a teacher of kids who are 9 and 10, I see the girls interested in so many different things nowadays. So, and they love the drone racing, and I've had a few of them come to races, or they'll get little drones for themselves, like little starter drones. So I'm hoping just as we show people, like as we, you know, we're representing and inspiring more to pick up a transmitter, hopefully. See more girls flying.
Since we're on it, World Games, that had a lot of girls in them. Tell us more.
Yes, that was my favorite part of the World Games. That was my favorite part of the World Games because, first of all, the World Games happens every 4 years on an off year of the Olympics, because the Olympics committee sort of oversees the World Games. Mm-hmm. So some of the sports in the World Games were parkour, racquetball, sumo wrestling. So kind of some unique ones. And drone racing, this was the first year it was in the World Games. And because the Olympic committee oversees it, a lot of times the sports that enter the Olympics come from the World Games. So it's extra special because, you know, if drone racing does well in the World Games, perhaps one day you might see it in the Olympics. Mm. So that in itself made it a very special race. You know, this is the first time they ever had it. But from each country who competed, we had one male and one female. So we had 10 females competing at that race, which I have never competed with that many ladies in my life. When I fly locally, I am the only woman, so I have to go to larger events to even fly with another woman, so let alone 10. We had Steph FPV, which you guys know Steph.
Yes.
Steph was there.
Yeah.
Steph, myself, and Lexi are all on Mach 1, a female drone team.
Yeah.
And we had a bunch of others. Milk was there, who is incredible. So many ladies. And we actually competed with the men at this event. It wasn't a separate competition for women.
Good.
And we had qualifying, just as usual, and then bracket racing.
I hate when they do separate women's category. It's like, we all have hands.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like men's hands are more muscular or something.
I mean, it's fun because, like, I got to race with Evan. You know, you got to race the best pilots in the world. That was really cool. And it was in a stadium. So we're so used to flying a lot of fields. Sometimes we get an exception and we'll fly something more interesting, but this was in a stadium. The airport was right there, so planes were flying overhead as we were racing. So they had to get some serious FAA clearance. And, yeah. They were very strict. They're like, if you fly above the light, you're done. Like, you are not flying anymore due to the fact that the airport was there. And we had to have a visual observer to fit mm-hmm. the FAA. So my husband was my spotter the entire time. We had spectators because it was the World Games. You know, we actually had an audience. So it was really cool to see people get excited about drone racing. And they probably hadn't really heard of it before. So it was really exposing people to it.
Yeah.
The LEDs were really cool. We had the best part was the night racing because all the gates were lit up and every drone had 40 LEDs on it.
40. I think yeah. Steph mentioned something like this in the episode we recorded and yeah. She was there and talked about it. Yeah. Wow. It must have been beautiful.
Yeah. I went because I was out of the race at that point, but unfortunately, because it was through the World Games, they weren't able to live stream it. The FAI did this race and they really wanted to live stream it, but they weren't able to. So I went on live stream on Facebook and I had so many people watching the race. I had, you know, the parents of the final three who weren't able to come to the event get to watch it. Mm-hmm. And they were so happy because I didn't want a live stream. Like, no, I don't want to do this. But I felt like people had to see it. And I was grateful that I got to show it to the families.
Yeah. So when you say there wasn't a live stream, there was or there wasn't? Sorry, I'm not sure.
There wasn't. Ah. No. So no one could watch the races. Yeah, nothing. We had Joe Scully and Jesse Perkins announcing the races and everything. It wasn't a multi-GP event. It was an FAI event. But due to, like, I don't know if it was CBS or NBC. I'm not sure which one was doing it. I forgot. But mm-hmm. they wouldn't let them live stream it, unfortunately. Mm.
So does that mean that the drones that were being used could have any camera on it? Or was that
I think
spec
someone...
Race?
No, it didn't, you didn't have to have, you know, we flew whatever we wanted. Some people flew different frames and different props and, you know, different batteries. So it wasn't really a spec race. Yep. They did weigh them. There were a couple things, you know, you had to have the 40 LEDs and you had to check the weight, but it was pretty open other than that.
Okay. Because I remember when you said live stream, it was this championship that Lexi went to in 2018, I think it was, where we could see the races going on Facebook. That was in Asia.
Was Shenzhen, I think. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. The FAI races, they can, but because this was with the World Games, which I think was CBS or something at the time.
Yeah.
They just didn't have the rights to do it.
Mm. Oh, well. Yeah, well, you know, it will.
But come. I think a few people might have put like some sort of HD cam on there because I saw somebody.
I think I saw someone's HD footage from that.
Yeah.
Mm.
But I don't remember who it was.
I don't either.
Maybe they were flying, with an HD camera and it recorded 1080 or something like
that.
Yeah.
But the track wasn't, I was pretty surprised. The track was not all that difficult. It was, and I think they were thinking of spectators at the time. It was kind of a large oval with a little bit of, mm-hmm. you know, stuff, elements on the inside of it. Mm. But I think they chose that so the spectators could follow the drones better. They had a huge, huge straightaway up in the stands.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. So was there a lot of spectators when the event was happening?
Yeah, there were quite a few. Yeah,
that's cool.
And Evan went up into the stands at one point. I went up in the stands, and we talked to a few people up there.
That's cool.
And there were a few pilots there actually, too, came to cheer us on.
Do you prefer watching line of sight racing or FPV racing?
As a spectator?
Yeah.
Line of sight.
I think that you need the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I really do. You got that, they had the video screen up there. They had a huge, huge screen that showed all the FPV feeds. So it was nice to be able to look at that and to watch them line of sight.
Yes. I hate watching drones line of sight. It's every time when the guys say, oh, I'm taking my girlfriend to a park and she's watching and she's not interested. I'm like, dude, I love FPV. I've been flying longer than you. I hate, if you would take me to the park to watch you fly from the outside, I would probably die.
Yeah. But the racing is slightly different because line of sight, you can see, if you know who's who, you can see people overtaking each other.
It's really hard to get it. Like whenever I had a spotter for like finals or whatever, they said that it's really hard. And the fact that my drone is super purple was the only thing when they could actually catch me, like, this is actually me. So they could kind of be like, I don't know. Because whenever there's like a lot of drones that look the same, or it's really colorful and super fast, especially during finals, you cannot see it. It's too tiny.
Yeah, that's true.
I think this worked well because they had, you know, the gates were so far
the
apart.
The LEDs are helping a lot.
It was so big. And yeah, the LEDs and the fact at night. Cause during the day, the LEDs, you could see them. But,
but during the night, at
you
least you
really
see this
see
ball of blue or ball of red. And that makes it so much easier to actually catch like who is who. Because during the day, it's really hard. Especially when you have like three drones with black props.
Yeah.
This is the end. It's like you cannot even spot this person because it's like, I have no idea which one you are.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I like to watch DRL line of sight.
Yeah.
But they have to always asking during the night. Mm-hmm. Or it's always dark.
You know, it's always dark in the
It's indoors and it's dark and they have all these neon stuff. And each like pilot has one color for the entire season. Exactly. Yeah. I remember Yellow or something.
Yeah.
And Nerd Green. I don't even know why I remember this. So that makes sense. So maybe I wonder, like, if we want to make the sport more popular, because you mentioned the Olympics, maybe it should be things that people think about more, like, should we do like DRL, should we do something, what do we do when there's a live audience as well, because DRL there's cameras everywhere on the track.
I think
to zoom
need
on
commentators that actually like talk throughout the entire thing, and they talk different things than this person overtook the other person. I saw a couple of those and I was like, are you kidding me right now? So we need someone like Joe Scully. Joe Scully is doing really good commenting throughout the entire thing, and he has stories even with most of those pilots. So it's making it so much easier and makes it more like personal, because it's not like people watch Formula One because there's cars that do vroom vroom and turn. It's because they like, you know, some of the drivers, they like the team, they like they probably know everything about the driver, or they hate the driver because he or she did something. So it has to be more personal rather than what we are doing. I've been telling this to DCL and DRL for years right now, so maybe one day someone will listen to me.
Yeah,
I think the hardest part is there's downtime. I know with DRL, at least they film in advance and then they're able to put some production in there. And I think DCL is going that route this year. But with the race at the World Games, you know, we had to review races, or there was a break because of some technical difficulty or whatever went wrong, and filling that time with like, put some freestyle videos on the screen, or someone come out who can freestyle also and do a demo, a line of sight demo, or throw some drone soccer in there. You know, you need some sort of activities for
and
the
tell the audience what's going on
to keep their entrance. Give them some facts about drone racing. They don't know anything, so
tell them that
you
are actually
use that opportunity.
Because sometimes it just finishes and they're like, am I waiting for something? Is something going on? Because they don't know. It's like, how do you want to make a sport when people are just sitting there like, should I go now?
Yeah, that's
well,
a good suggestion.
Major League Drone Racing. Have you guys seen that? That is really new. And it sounds like kind of like Major League Baseball, how there will be like an Eastern, you know, conference and a Western conference. And there'll be teams for each. So that's something where we're doing here in the United States is Major League Drone Racing. So it's geared for spectators. So we'll see if that picks up. And
And maybe for events with live audience, you could have cameras set up at gates or on straights to show close-ups or who's leading, so you can alternate between those cameras and the FPV cameras, just like they do in Formula One as well, you know, when they have cameras at turns. And that would be cool.
I actually once saw someone was having LED gates that were changing color for the person that's winning. Like if a person was winning and it was blue LEDs, then the first gate was blue LEDs and it was changing the color whenever the new LED color got to that, and you could literally follow who is where. That was really great. I think they did it in France once, but I'm not sure what happened after.
It might be kind of expensive, but if they're going to be doing this major league drone racing, like, can you have some goggles available for people to try on and check it out too?
Yeah.
Or even the simulator. Can you have an area where people could try out the sim?
That's what they do in Germany a lot. Sorry.
So I'm laughing because there's a video. Do you girls know Zoro FPV?
Yes.
Yes.
Do you watch his video often, or because that's one of the most recent ones?
I don't think I've seen the recent one. No.
I'm laughing because he went to an event in obviously America, and it was a race, and he kept trying, like, first off, he kept trying to get discounts on food because he was showing a card.
Oh, I saw that!
You saw that? He was showing a card saying, I'm a drone pilot. Is there any kind of discount? But there was also a simulator, so I'm telling for Lexi, and he pretended that he had never flown before, and he starts flying. He starts flying, and the person who was supposed to coach him was like, yeah, you're doing well. Yeah, you know, and he was like, oh, yeah, because I've never done that before. And then he was like, so it seems kind of easy. Like, he was just trolling the person. It was amazing. So when you said simulator, I started giggling because I was like, we can go and troll people.
I should totally go and do that. Although I had weird situations at CES. Like, some people literally stopped me and they were like, oh my God, you're Lexi Jansen. And I was like,
ooh,
who are you?
Did they know you for a drone or for, like, airspeeder kind of jetson thing?
I think both. There was one lady that literally saw me and she was like, oh my God, you fly the flying car thing. And I was like, hi.
That's good.
Yes, I'm the trailblazer.
So yeah, you can't really go and troll people on simulator because they might know you.
I kind of think I can. It's not like, because, you know, some people in the office told me, like, oh my God, you're famous. And I was like, one, I don't feel like it. Two, I have no idea why. So it's not like I'm going around being like, I'm great and I'm famous. It's more like, I have no idea why. If you know me, cool.
That Zoro episode was so funny. I think his card actually worked and he got a discount on
on a hot dog. He got a free hot dog.
I'm a drone pilot.
I'm totally gonna go and troll people.
I think he was at a DRL race, right?
Yeah,
I'm so going trolling DRL. People.
I think it was DRL.
Yeah, and then he was trying to have access to, like, a previous booth, and he was like, can I get going there? Oh, but I'm a drone pilot. Like, I'm like, how does he have, and filming himself while doing that, I'm like, how does he do that? I was, the whole time I was tensed and laughing, but I was like, cringing, but in a good way. Like, you have to watch it, Lexi, because Zoro is amazing.
Tomorrow.
Yes. Yes. is there anything people don't know, but I barely slept last night, so I'm a bit like struggling.
It's really
this
interesting because it's like really early morning at your place. It's really past my bedtime right now.
Yes.
It's like dinner time for me.
Yeah. Yes. Is there anything else big, that's what I wanted to ask you girls, coming this year for you? Or do you know if you're going to go to another event where you're going to see each other, or nothing sure yet?
I hope we'll see each other soon.
I hope so too.
I guess what's up for us next, I guess we can say this now because it's going to air later, right? The episode will air later.
Yes, it will.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's coming out in a couple of days, but our female drone racing team, Mach 1, is actually going to be in the 2023 DCL Drone Champions League. Ooh. So there have been women who've competed in Drone Champions League before, in a women's cup, though, separate from the men. So this time, our team, Mach 1, will be the first team, as far as I know, who is going to be competing alongside the men.
Nice.
Yay! This is when you put like, woo!
Yeah. So we have a team of 8. Lexi, myself, hopefully I get everybody. Leslie, so LaBeba is probably it. Steph.
Yeah.
Heavy, she's a freestyle pilot, but she's getting into racing. I don't know if you know her.
I think so. She's Italian, isn't she?
Yeah. I don't know if you're close to where she is, Lexi.
I think I'm 2 hours away. I need to get a car.
Oh, yeah. You have to visit. Meet halfway. And then we have Hologram, Senya, and Nadahova. There's got to be like one or two more I'm missing. Moga.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know Moga? Yes, yes.
I'm not saying
right.
I have a favorite, but obviously with Lexi and Moga, I have some favorite.
You got to fly with Moga, right?
Yes.
Multiple times,
yes.
I think.
Yes. Yes.
I'm very jealous. But Moga was at the World Games, so I got to meet her. She's so sweet.
Oh, that's where she was, because we talk. Oh, yes. I'm so stupid. Because she said she was in Las Vegas and with a drone, and I didn't put things together at all. I was like, oh, yeah, cool, that's awesome. You know, like I didn't.
No, I don't think she was in Vegas. This was in Birmingham, Alabama in July.
Ah, okay, sorry. Recently she was somewhere, maybe it was in Las Vegas. She was filming, no, not at all. She was in Thailand.
Okay.
When you girls, oh my God, I need sleep. When you girls
we're all
were,
traveling too much.
Yeah, when you were at the CES, she was doing something, I think, in Asia, and she had a little drone, and it looked like a big event as well. So that's why I got confused for a second. I'm like, oh my God, I can't, you know, I can't believe she was there too. But no.
She's awesome.
Yeah, she's great. She's a great freestyle pilot as well.
Yeah.
But the racing is impressive. So, Makwan, I've been following you all on Instagram for a while, and I got contacted. Like, it's not to bring it back to me, but
Diane messaged you.
Yes.
Diane is kind of like her and I kind of manage it a little bit. We do a lot of the back end stuff. So she runs Drone Zone New Jersey. She must have messaged you.
Yes. But. And I was meant to answer yesterday. So maybe I have to get off my butt and, you know, and answer today and be like, hi. Not to race, obviously. I think she just wants to give more exposure to freestyle pilots.
Of course. Yeah, we have a couple of freestyle pilots. So.
Yeah. And out of the big,
we started with like 7. Oh, yeah. You know, Lexi and I we've been in groups trying to make a women's team for years, but we started at 7, and now we're already at 18. So
wow, that's so good. And you know, you remember there was a time where some freestyle competition was organized online. Lexi was a judge. I was a judge 1 year as well. I loved it. And not just because, you know, you win prizes, but I am still talking to some of the pilot I've discovered as a judge, you know, in the contest. And I've been trying to revive it with the original person, but it hasn't happened yet. And I was thinking, we missed that. It was great. And it doesn't matter, some people got grumpy, but I feel like at least the people who were involved in judging, in organizing it and participating, they all had a great time. So
it was definitely more good than bad.
Yes. True. It would be awesome if we could redo it again in some ways. So if that's something,
sure,
you know. I'm not part of MAC1 yet. I don't even know if I will be. But as a suggestion, if with more freestyle people, we could have a whole event organized by MAC1 itself, you know. And
that would be cool.
You know, an online thing. So that would be cool. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see where that goes. It's just like throwing a little idea.
Yes.
That's a great idea.
Okay, out of the other big things, both Mako and me are in drone soccer. So I'm going to be doing a lot of content teaching kids how to build reperdos, little balls with drones in them. It's kind of like Quidditch. If you can imagine Quidditch, everyone knows Quidditch, but with drones.
What?
So no brooms, but still, it's cool.
And they're really easy to build. It's solder free. Like,
yeah, so we're going to be teaching kids how to do it. And we're going to also show the kids that it's absolutely for everyone. And they can be boy, girl, old, young, and we will also show them what drones can give them later in the future regarding career, so that they can be a drone pilot or go into aviation, go to Boeing or do delivery drones or be a eVTOL test pilot and things like this, you know. So we want to just show kids how they can do everything they can, and it's, again, as I'm saying, not saying you can do it, but showing you can do it.
Yeah, and maybe
the teams have to be co-ed. Oh, yeah. The teams are co-ed teams, so they all have ladies on them.
Nobody can see, but we can. Lexi and I can see. Meiko is showing the actual ball, let's call it, or the drone ball.
it's a drone in a ball.
It's amazing.
Yeah, the cage is like 3D printed.
Safety.
And then it's just got the all-in-one board and the LED board. There's no VTX or camera, so it's all line of sight.
Oh, that's amazing. So hold on.
It's Quidditch.
How do you score points?
Like in
there's
Quidditch.
There's like a goal on each side. They're playing, I think, 5-on-5, but only one player on each team is allowed to actually score. They're called strikers. So the striker goes in and has to like fly through the goal, and everyone else is trying to bounce off of them and like hit them away. So it's kind of like demolition derby and soccer mixed together. Maybe a little bit of game?
And people are running, though. They're running on the field and they're throwing the thing around. Is that how
it works? There's a cage, and they're outside of the cage flying it with a transmitter. Just an idea.
That's awesome, because I was thinking, I was picturing that differently. I was thinking, so how do they fly? My mind is blown.
I can score a goal. So basically, there's
10 drones
defending. There's four people defending the goal. One person shoots on the goal. And once they score, they have to go back to the middle before they can go back and score again.
Okay. How do you defend?
You just hit each other because you have these cages. You just like bounce off each
other. Oh my God, that's so good.
It's so good for learning, because they don't break very easily with these cages on there. You might break a prop here and there, but you're really not going to have to repair this all the time.
It's the dream of everybody. Like, instead of, you know, instead of racing, you have to hit each other. I love it. I want to do this.
I know. I want another one because my husband and I would have so much fun.
Yeah. So is there only two balls in a game, or is it?
No, there's 10. Like Lexi was saying, 10 are up. Are fighting the goal, trying to defend it, and then one is the offense.
So
for both teams.
In the air at one time.
Yeah.
I had no idea what it was, because recently when you showed me that, it reminded me of something else I had seen. It's on TikTok, and it's a flying thing, and you throw it away and it flies alone and it bounces off walls and stuff like that. And I thought that's what people were doing, like running around and throwing the ball, you know? But what you described
is
so
true. Yeah.
I've never heard of that. It's so cool.
I guess in Asia, they're going to have a really big competition in 2023, I believe in October. And they fly 5-inch ones. Like, this is a micro.
Yeah.
They fly the big boys. So the balls are like much larger.
It's like those fighting robots, but in a different way.
Yeah, exactly.
Fighting robots always make me sad, though, because you know.
Let's see if I can plug it in.
Yeah, but generally that's the thing. So we're both ambassadors for that, and we're going to be teaching kids how to do things. I'm going to be doing it mostly remotely from my little studio and doing a lot of videos. But I'm also going to.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it's nice and has a lot of LEDs.
So
generally I'm also going to New York in March for Women's History Month, and I'm going to be public speaking for the universities for this as well. And Kyle and Drone Soccer literally want me to just go and do other things, since I'm going to be in the US anyway. And maybe we will all go to South Korea in October.
Maybe do some coaching.
If everything goes well. That would be nice.
Maybe I need to get my passport.
They want to have an American drone soccer team to go to Korea.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. I wonder if schools would be interested in Australia.
Absolutely.
I wonder.
You know that they have shortage of drone pilots, even though on the skilled visa, the drone pilot is not on the list, because the skilled visa list has been made in like 80s.
Yeah, like, it's just more for the fun of it. I'm like, what if we were starting this in Australia? Because no, what, for sure, well, I don't want to be for sure. Maybe I'm 99% sure it doesn't exist here. And it would be such a good thing to tell Kyle. Some schools.
Yeah, I think it's a real stepping stone because a lot of the kids, after they fly drone soccer, they want to fly FPV.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to do and more would stuff be very with good. Aviation or engineering.
Yeah, learning how to fly line of sight makes them like way better than me already. That's because true. I can't fly line of sight for crap.
How does the thing fly? Sorry, I'm going to ask all the questions about this now. How does it behave in the air?
Well, you're flying it in angle mode.
Yeah.
You know, so you're not acro or anything.
Yeah.
It just takes because it's a little heavy, it kind of takes a little bit of throttle to get it up, but it flies pretty smooth.
Wow. Yeah, it makes sense that you don't need acro because technically it's a bolt, so it doesn't need to flip and,
exactly.
and roll.
That would be hilarious if they were an acro.
I want to FPV it, though. I think that would be wicked fun.
Oh, that would be so cool. It's like the bumping cars, you know. Do you have that in America? The ones where you just bump into each other?
Yep. Same idea.
I would love that. I would love to just bomb my mates and just like...
I bring it to my races. I have a race tomorrow, so I'll bring it. But we need a second one to really have fun.
Yeah. How hard is it to build, to put together compared to...
I really think it's not bad at all. It's like if you can build a tiny whoop, which is...
Just plug and play.
You can buy a plug and play of tiny whoops now. You can build one of these because, like I said, there's no soldering. It's just the one board gets plugged in, the LED board gets plugged in.
Wow.
I can see kids making a few mistakes here and there and having to like flip something over that they put the wrong direction, but
yes,
it really could take you, if you know what you're doing, you could do it in probably less than an hour.
Wow. So it's just about connectors for the electronics. You connect things, you don't solder, and then you assemble the frame like we do, and then you put that 3D printing ball around it.
You just kind of zip tie those together. So I like zip tied it wrong a little bit at first, but like little mistakes like that.
Yeah. I want to build one.
Simple mistakes. You know, easy to fix stuff.
And so would everybody build exactly the same one? That's the same electronics in all the drones?
You can get different color cases. Like maybe if your team wants to have certain colors.
Yeah.
Or you have a certain color because you're the striker.
Yeah.
You can change the LEDs to reflect that too. That way you know who is who.
Yeah. So if I wanted to build one for me, can I go somewhere and look it up and order parts and build it?
It sounds like they're really pushing them in schools. I don't know if they just sell them outright.
Okay.
We can, so it's more like a STEM. Talk to the right people and give it
but
to
yeah.
you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Okay, I understand if you can't say too much, but I'm like, I just want to build one and don't tell my mates. And then next session, I put that up, and while they fly, I just throw the ball at them.
Well, this board is iFlight, so I don't know if you can go to like the iFlight website if they have anything.
I have a quick look.
I think they have the whole kits. Like Kyle told me that it's kits, full kits.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, if you're allowed to talk about it to her, do it, and I'd be happy to chat with her just even for fun.
It's a guy.
Some guy.
Some guy. Are you so disposed to...
Lexi knows him.
Yeah, today someone made a story. There was a picture of me, Marco and Kyle, and someone made a story of two of my favorite people and some guy.
And some guy.
So I tagged him and I was like, his name is Kyle. He's great.
Oh, yeah, my mistake. Because I was hearing Kaya.
Ah, Kyle. I know, my accent is bad. I understand.
It's not your accent, it's my ears.
Okay.
I have like, I probably have wax in my ear.
I still don't say R. I'm saying a baga instead of burger.
A burger.
It's almost like a Maine accent.
It's a baga.
That's because
you say lobster instead of lobster. So
lobster.
Put it right in.
Yeah, I
but also
say
the fact you lived in Australia probably didn't help your Irish accent either, because everything here is not it's in Finnish, like that.
Yeah, so
you know,
my
like
Irish accent is absolutely destroyed. Like, you need to send me to Ireland for at least 2 weeks so it comes back. But I still can talk in a really annoying accent.
Yeah, you
just say the magic word.
Whoa.
See, I cannot talk like this all the time because everyone thinks I'm asking a question.
I watch I go on a bit of a tangent. I'm watching The Derry Girls on Netflix, which is about schoolgirls when there was this big Irish conflict in the 90s, you know, that did lots of victims, and the accent is the best thing, you know. I'm watching
gold.
50% for the accent. It's amazing. And I learned that they called things a wee thing. Like, I didn't know
it was a
wee thing.
It's a wee phone.
Yeah, but they just say, oh, that wee girl or that wee shop. And I'm like, what is
it
this?
Tiny.
I had to Google, what is this wee thing? But sometimes they use it not to talk about a little thing. They just use it as a slang word, like a filler.
Yeah,
that too. Like
a
filler.
It's also when you say a bus instead of a bus. It's a Dublin, not Dublin. For God's sake. Dublin.
I love that. It's such a good... If you haven't watched the series and you...
You should totally go with me to my family. Whenever you go to Europe, we're going to my family. It's just
going
to get so much worse. Whenever I'm coming back to my family and to Ireland, it's like 1 hour and I'm back full throttle Irish. And then it takes like 2 weeks to recover. Because everyone's like, oh, your accent is kind of like a mix of things. I'm like, yeah, I know.
Yes. Do you have any special background maker or not really? Like, do you speak other languages? Do you?
No. I grew up. My father was in the Air Force, so I did travel a lot. I just know English though.
Yeah.
He worked on the SR-71, which is a pretty famous like spy plane, and I think that's kind of where I've got my love of aviation from a little bit.
Yeah.
But we traveled a lot. I lived in Japan for a little bit as a child, California, Maine, but no other languages.
That's decent traveling, though.
Yeah.
I'm asking that because the first time I saw your profile, which is some years ago, for some reason, I assumed you were German. And then I realized you were not German, but I think it's the look, you know, and because I wasn't sure where I could remember Mako Reactra from, and there was a K, and I'm like, because I lived a long time next to Germany, I was like, oh, maybe it's a German thing that I've seen somewhere, you know. So I just had this assumption, and then obviously I heard you.
Well, I know I was saying when I first started flying, I found you, and I don't know if you remember, but my first drone, my first 5-inch drone, was an Armitan Rooster. I had it like when I first started flying. Like, we were watching like Steel and Schizo and all those guys, and I was like, I'm gonna be a freestyle pilot. So like, it was winter, so I couldn't do that, so we got Tiny Whoops, and that's kind of how we learned. We didn't really get on the sim, we just started flying Tiny Whoops, and then the snow melted and the group we were with just starts racing. So I was like, okay, I got some racing. So I raced my Rooster. I mean, I still have it.
Oh,
it's got individual ESCs.
Oh yeah.
So I raced that for a while because I had no idea like what the components were, how they worked together and what they even did. And I had no experience building. Thank God my husband like taught me a lot of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, learning it online from Bardwell and all those guys too. So
yeah.
In the beginning, I saw your video. I think I told you this before. You were at the Indonesia Bando.
Ah, yes.
That was my favorite video ever of yours because I just loved... You were ripping. You were like power looping different structures. There was like really cool graffiti everywhere. The ocean was in the background. And like the music choice. I love that song. I looked it up before we interviewed. Wildfire. I don't know if that was the name, but that was the video that... was like, I'm going to be a freestyle pilot. And I look today,
so cool.
I pretty much race and fly a little Cinewhoops here and there. Yeah. I like to long range, though. I do a little bit of long ranging.
That's good. I don't. I'm a chicken. I'm scared of long range.
I'm waiting for it to happen. I have had really good luck. I've flown a couple miles over the ocean even. But God, is it scary. The turnaround is what gets me. Because like, you go and you go.
Where did I come from?
Yeah, you turn around, you're like, okay, where am I? And you don't realize how far you've gone. It never feels like you've gone that far, but then when you turn around, you realize it. Yeah. Like, hopefully I can get back.
Yes.
Bob Grinder does a great job with that. He doesn't care.
Yeah. Just get yourself one of those Hellgate buzzers. This is what saved me when I lost my drone in Slovenia.
Oh.
Hellgate buzzers? What's that?
It's even when your battery unplugs, it still has a little battery of itself and it just beeps all the time.
Mm. Yes, yes.
It's really helpful. Trust me.
We did. I think we did. I went to Rotorua and did a few episodes, and we did an episode about the Apple AirTag and like talking about the beepers. We had the beepers too. And we crashed them intentionally, and then we had to find each other's, and we were going to see who can find each other's first, if it was the beeper or the Apple AirTag. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of fun. Apple AirTag failed.
Well, okay, because I was going to ask, how does the Apple AirTag work on the drone? Like, it's
Drew had his phone.
Yeah.
And it was like GPS location, but like it was crashed in the bando in a corner. So like the signal was really poor, so we had a hard time finding it.
So you need both beeper and the AirTag.
Yeah, I'm thinking
especially
both
when
of
you fly really far away in the mountains.
Yeah, and I don't know what it's called. I just call it a beeper. So you guys can correct me.
No, that's fine.
Oh my god. Buzzer. It's called a buzzer, I think.
Buzzer.
A buzzer.
Yeah.
Stop it.
A buzzer.
There is no such letter.
Well, it's been an hour and some time. So we always try to get the episode within an hour so people want more, and then it means we can reinvite you in another episode another time, you know. Okay. That's the secret. But thanks for
it's not a secret anymore.
No, they know. I always say that because I feel guilty stopping the podcast. But it's been great. Thanks a lot for coming today.
Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Yes.
Same. Definitely a pleasure to see you two girls. And I still need to meet you, Noelle, in person.
Yes.
We're might getting closer.
Experience.
Yes, it will happen. It will happen for sure. I'm planning to go to Europe eventually. Or maybe I should meet you both in Korea, because I keep telling Moga that, I want to go see her and there. So maybe it's a good excuse to, you know, do all of it at the same time. But if people want to check up on your content, Meiko, where can they see what you do?
I don't do too much YouTube, but you can find me on YouTube, Meiko Reactra, and I'm mostly on Instagram and Facebook. So Instagram is also Meiko Reactra, and my Facebook is my name, Ryan Lindsay Lassard.
Okay, noted. Well,
her real name.
Yeah. Well, Lexi, you do it all the time.
I don't.
It's not I know.
That's actually true.
I mean, when I first started posting drones on my Facebook account, you know, I was just doing it on my personal account. And after a while, I was like, oh no, like, should I have done this? Because now I have just like thousands of friends. Like, some of them I've met in real life, some of them I've only talked to online. And I'm like, that's okay.
Yeah.
My friends and family are just going to have to deal with seeing all the drone stuff all the time.
That's a good way to do it.
I should have probably made a separate Facebook account, but that's okay.
I'm just using alter ego name, so it's fine.
Yeah.
I should have came up with an alter ego. A pseudonym, is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's a pseudonym. It's a good one.
You know that there's a thing to find your alter ego name, or they also call it your stage name. It's the name of your first pet and the name of the first street you've lived in as a kid. So mine was
not
Jenny Bell.
Pronounce it.
Well, that's the thing with Lexi. I'm like, it's gonna be all Polish within me. Anyway, people, we went on a tangent again, but thanks everybody for joining and listening to this episode again.
We're going to see you again in 2 weeks. Please follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcast. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram on Onigiri & Co.
Yes, and give us some ratings, please, because that
helps. Give us a lot of ratings. Give us 5 stars, whatever you can, please. It helps us a lot.
Thank you, everybody, and we'll speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.